Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Exactly. That's not at all what was being said. But short answer to that should be a long one. No, women are not to be suppressed. Yes, there are gender-specific roles in Scripture that I do believe still need to be upheld today. I don't guess we need to have that argument, but we can.
Like what, for example?
A lot of people disagree with me on this, but I would say I do not believe that women have the right to be pastors. But I do believe that women have the ability to preach the gospel, but not pastor a church. There's an authoritative role there that comes with being a pastor that God gave. He gave that to the man because that was also indicative of the man's role as the leader of his home. And you see that correlation made of husbands and being the leaders of your home connected with being the leaders of the church. I would say a woman has every right to preach, but she can't be a pastor.
What does Jesus say about homosexuality in the Bible?
Jesus himself, you're going to be hard-pressed to find scripture where Jesus sat down and said, now, let's talk about men marrying men. You're going to be hard-pressed to find that. But the teachings are clear in the New Testament. For instance, in 1 Corinthians, it says that...
The book where they said that women shouldn't speak in church.
Correct. And while we also agree with that, you have to know, again, you have to understand what Paul was talking about when he said women couldn't speak in church. He wasn't talking about not letting them speak at all. He was talking about they were in a place where women were speaking and it was causing great disruption. And he's like, hey, wait, talk about this at the house. When I preach, I don't want 50 women to look at their husbands and out loud go, Paul, what's he talking about? No, no.
Oh, so it's because the women were dumb and they couldn't.
Come on, Rach.
I'm just curious because you said that we shouldn't take to heart what the Bible says about marginalizing women because Jesus never directly said anything about that. So we can kind of rationalize around that. But then if Jesus didn't say anything specifically about homosexuality, I just wonder why that's a slap directly in God's face. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Because in order to say that, well, because Jesus didn't specifically, if we're only going to look at what Jesus said and that's all that matters, then you might as well just get rid of the rest of the Bible. Why are we reading it? What Jesus said, yes, was important, but also you have to understand that I believe in a Trinity, a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and they are three different entities, pardon me, with different purposes, but at the same time, there's the same person, different manifestations of the same person. So I believe that Christ and the Holy Ghost were existent with God in the beginning when he created heaven and earth out of pure nothing. So therefore, I can't just say, well, only the words of Jesus are valid here. If I believe the Bible is inspired, then even the words of Paul that were inspired by God are still the words of Jesus because they're one and the same. So again, homosexuality being a slap to the face of God, it literally says, yeah, it required straight parents for me to get here, but I don't care. I'm going to go fulfill what I want to do.
Do you think that any sexual contact that doesn't result in a baby or doesn't have the intent of producing a baby is sin?
No. Okay. No. I mean, if that was the case, I'd have 15 kids by now and No. I have two, and that's all I want.
But sexual contact outside of a man and woman being married would be sin.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to say that. I mean, the question you asked, Rachel, is almost saying, you know, is using protection sinful? Some people would say that it is.
I was just curious because you said I need
sitting right next to you.
I need straight parents to get here, but so, I'm not going to have
later before I leave
straight anyway. Sex, so I'm sinning. That I was just following that logic.
We say is yes that act of genital union belongs in marriage.
Here we go.
And that sexual pleasure outside of that bond is not the way God designed it. Yes, we say that that was part of God. We call it the natural law, the way that God created human beings in the beginning, and the natural way to reproduce. And so the way that the scriptures say it is that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with a woman; the two shall become one flesh. And so, yes, that is our position, that that action not necessarily needs to produce a child, but should be open to it, and that it was designed to be man and woman not getting something from the other person, not like what they get out of it, but it's a matter of giving themselves to the other person. So it's an act of self-giving, and in the larger context, Jesus himself made the analogy and said that he gave himself to the church, and he gave us the ultimate example of self-giving, and that he gave up his life. So in our society today, unfortunately, the practice of sexual activity has become quite common outside that bond, and we believe that it's trivialized that action and made it less than what it was intended to be, which is that that act of self-giving.
All right, I promise to change the subject after this one because people are...
One more question about sex.
Yeah, one more question
one.
About that.
If anyone else has genital union, I'm leaving.
Yeah, thank you.
When you, Father, when you said that the what's written in the Bible about women's rights was a... That's because that was what was culturally accepted at the time. It was kind of a different time, and that was... You know, Jesus was living in those times. People are saying, well, it's the same with the acceptance of homosexuality. We live now in a time where that is more accepted and inclusive. Why is it one set of rules for one cultural norm and not the other?
Because the rules about how people dress and who can speak when and who has positions of authority in society is culturally conditioned. We believe that God's design for the way that the human race reproduces as part of their nature. I mean, and we don't believe that because a person has sexual desires that gives them the right to have that activity with whoever they want to at the time, even if it's what's the phrase that's used in our society, consenting adults. The fact that consenting adults do a lot of things that aren't necessarily being their best selves and doing something that betters society. I certainly
just
don't.
Just so you know, Ted's staring right at Sue. It's weird for everybody.
I'm just used to seeing the whole congregation, David. It's a small congregation here.
He's
around. I like to keep my eye on. I even keep my eye on you. That's a bit.
You're looking the right way for that.
Bit more of a challenge.
But so, I don't think genital union works between two men. That's the whole point of conversation.
That's gonna be my prison name.
The fact of the matter is, of course, is two people of the same sex by any natural action are not going to make another human being, and that was the way God designed human beings to continue the human race.
All right, here's a change of subject. Charlie wants to know what is your opinion on biblical apocrypha books not included within the traditional Bible? If you don't accept them as canonical, why?
Yeah, Ted and Corey would have two different sets of books.
Why is this Catholic versus Baptist today?
Because the Jew is not here.
That's what Dave likes.
Yeah, we don't have the Hebrew to pick on.
Well, Charlie's
not. He's just saying, what's your opinion on them? If you don't accept them, why don't you accept them? Or if you do accept them, why do you accept them?
I'll let you speak to this first because this is kind of your wheelhouse, and then I'll
I just want to give a couple of background things about the Bible. Number one, a common misconception is I think people picture the day that Jesus ascended to heaven, that he was standing on top of a mountain, and he handed out these books. Like these, right. This is your this is your instruction manual on how to be a Christian. Absolutely not. When Jesus ascended to heaven, none of the New Testament was even written yet.
Right.
And they didn't even have total agreement on which books. And think about it, in those days, they didn't have books. They had piles of scrolls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they only figured out, they, meaning the Christians in the early days of the church, only figured out which ones they were going to accept by trial and error over time. We put a lot of stock in how that got sorted out. And the Catholic Church calls those early leaders, we call them the apostolic times. And the next set of times for the second and third centuries, we call the patristic times, or the fathers in church. And some of them were mothers of the church as well. So the men and women who were loyal to Jesus' way, and as they would read these books over time, the community itself would help determine, not by voting, but by use over time, which ones were more acceptable than others. We don't say it's wrong to read the books that weren't approved. People might take a personal inspiration from them, but like the church is both a spiritual and a human organization, the human part of it, some human beings decided these are the ones that we consider authentic. What I started out with is very important too. You know, it's not like somebody was sitting there writing down everything Jesus said. Right. They were remembering over time. And so there's obviously plenty of things he said that didn't get written down.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
What would you guys say to someone who is interested in Christianity, believes in God, but is not interested in the restrictions that many denominations place on their members?
I would say...
Like if a gay person wanted to join your church and they had a husband.
Right. I would say that... First of all, the instruction I give to any new believer is find a Bible-believing church. For me, and for, I believe, the majority of conservative Christians, they would say, you know, we get specific with a gay person again, that is sin. As their pastor, I would allow that, you know, I'm not going to say you cannot come to church here because you're gay. That would be on the same level, because now what I'm saying is that your being gay is worse than this guy that drinks too much on the weekends. Your being gay is worse than the person that has no control of their mouth at all. And we can't cherry pick sin. The church has failed in that area in a lot of ways. I believe we have. We've very much cherry picked a lot of sins. But the truth is that sin is sin is sin before God. I don't believe God looks at sin and says, oh, well, you only, you know, wasted all your money and got drunk all the time and you only beat your wife, but you were a homosexual. And I don't believe there's a scale that weighs those two things out. So I'm going to love the person that has a husband just as much as I love the guy that drank too much, just as much as I love the person that I know isn't married but is sleeping with his girlfriend. I'm going to love those people the same, and I'm going to allow them to come. I'm going to embrace them. And I'm going to teach truth to them. I've been in the position where I knew that there was someone there that I had something in my message that I'm about to say. And I know there is one person that's going to think to themselves, he's talking about me. He's singling me out. And my response to that would be, no, I'm not singling you out. I told you what the Bible says. If God singled you out, we would call that conviction. If you feel bad about that, you need to deal with you. But I'm not going to diminish truth as I see it because I don't want to be offensive. But I'm also not going to be so offensive that I plant my flag in something and then lose that opportunity to love them, to bring them to Jesus, you know, by demonstrating that love.
Yeah, I'd give Corey an amen on all that.
Let's take up an offering too. <while we're here.
laughs> That's good. I would add to that. Yes, we. I would like to quote Pope Francis on this particular topic. He says, win souls, not arguments. Yeah. So we're all about loving the people that come forward to us and think that our church can benefit them. We really, it's kind of a big misnomer, I believe, in society today. People will say, I'm spiritual, but not religious. That's kind of what one of the, Rachel didn't use those words, but that was kind of the idea.
Yeah.
And so we believe that if you don't have somebody helping you interpret what Jesus meant, then you're going to make up your own rules. And
right.
that's pretty dangerous for all of us. And
right.
so the way that we put it spiritually, we speak of the church as the spouse of Jesus Christ. So mm-hmm. we say, if you're only, he said that himself, that he had this covenant bond with the church, with the believers. And so we say, if you claim you're loving Jesus but not the church, you're only loving half the marriage. And
right.
you're making up your own rules, and that doesn't work well for people if it comes to nutrition or exercise or economics or any other aspect of the life. It certainly doesn't work in terms of morals.
Right. Yeah. We went really, really late there. Pastor, Father, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to be here.
A few minutes shy of 6 p.m. DGS. Happy Tuesday. Going to get some snow tonight. Did anyone remember what Dave said? Is it like a traffic hazard? I remember hamster flakes. That's about it.
Yeah, he said that there could be a little bit of it could be a little dicey tomorrow morning during the morning rush.
Oh, good. Between 3 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he said is going to be the worst. But he didn't act like it was going to be too bad.
End of the world stuff.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Have you guys ever seen the hamster snowflake graphic that Dave Murray uses on Facebook?
Yes.
It's pretty cute.
It amuses me.
Next time he posts it, I will share it to the DGS page. But you should just go like Dave Murray's weather on Facebook, too. Mm.
He
Thursday,
posted it today.
Spring forecast.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
A couple of tickets left for DGS Eastside. Go to 971talk.com to pick those up. Man, college has changed a lot since I went. College students were desperate for Chick-fil-A, so they bought plane tickets to get access to one in an airport.
I love this story.
What?
I love this story.
Well, they have more money than I did, too.
Exactly.
Apparently.
No, it's not that much. They all chipped in like $5.
They paid $98 for a ticket and bought $227 worth of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. So they sent one guy in. They bought one ticket for their like leader. So they basically...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Basically broke down to like $5 a guy. They bought one ticket. They sent the one guy in with the ticket so he could access the Chick-fil-A in the terminal. And then he bought like $300 worth of Chick-fil-A for everybody and then brought it back out.
Also,
I think it's genius.
The monsters at Mrs. Dash have finally taken away the misses. Now it's just Dash.
Just Dash.
Why did they do that?
Why?
Because they're monsters, Rachel.
They're erasing women.
They're just saying you don't have to be a missus.
To use Dash.
Oh, okay. How I get about it. Like, the implication was only like housewives cook.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Like in the Bible
so
times.
So I'm the unwoke one.
Yeah, and I am
yeah,
too.
How does it feel?
That never occurred to me.
Yeah.
Feels bad.
I think tonight's going to be as...
Yes.
Contentious as
the one thing I'm most interested in is, do they go after Bloomberg again, which I think is useless, or do they go after Bernie?
They need to go after Bernie.
Which is who they really need to go after.
Yeah.
Rahm Emanuel came out today and just said, look, we have 1 week. We have 1 week to stop Bernie, and we must stop Bernie, or you're going to have 4 more years of Trump. And if you don't stop him,
yeah,
it's even worse.
Super Tuesday is 1 week from today.
1 week from today.
1 week from today.
So I think tonight is going to be even more interesting than the last one was.
They do. I agree completely that they need to take Bernie down if they can. I mean, if you're in that group, that's what your goal should be. But I also understand finishing off Mike Bloomberg if you can, because if you can get a few, if you can consolidate the vote, then you could start to maybe change
you know
some
what?
Of the numbers.
Rach made a very cogent argument last week or earlier in the week when she said, yeah, he got just lambasted, but it doesn't matter because most people didn't watch the debate. So to me, I would figure we killed him in that debate.
Right.
There's no need to kill him again. The people who watch in tonight probably watched last week. We need to go take Bernie down.
Yeah.
But I doubt they do. I'll bet you they go after Bloomberg more than they do Bernie.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.